Our gospel today is proof positive that I do not read the gospels before assigning them to different preachers. What a chipper lectionary reading this is today. Brothers handing brothers over and sisters killing sisters and you're all gonna die. What fun. Amen. This is not what we call a soft pitch down the middle. But it is kind of appropriate, sad as it may be. When you hear wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled. Such things must happen, but it's not the end yet. Nations will rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and famines and troubles. This is the beginning of sorrows. You know, I think I, like most of us, were deeply, deeply troubled at the news of this week. Hearing about Paris and the 129 who are dead and the 340 who remain critically wounded. It's just devastating. There really aren't any words. And then when we couple that with the recent attack on the Russian airliner taking off out of Egypt that crashed in the Sinai, and we really start looking at all that's going on in the Middle East, these are dark days. And in fact, right now, it just sort of seems natural for it to be dark days. It's finally started getting cold. It was in the 50s last night. It's kind of new for us this year. I saw something online last week that said, pray for Florida. There's nothing wrong, it's just 85 in November. But it's finally started to get cold. With daylight savings time, it's dark at 6 o'clock. So now in this time of year, it's cold. It's dark. We hear of hundreds dead in Paris and hundreds dead in an airplane that's shot down. And it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to think terrible things. If we pay attention to the news, if we investigate what's going on, we hear about mass casualties all over the world. Casey's word was spot on. I have not changed. I have not changed. Don't be surprised by the news. Don't be confused by it. Don't let it take your eyes off of who I am. Don't let your own sickness take your eyes off of who I am. I have not changed. You know, every year, right after Christmas, every news channel, every sports channel, they all go into the year in review. They all start doing, okay, here was how all the sports teams did. Here's how all the political candidates did. Here's how everything that can be reviewed gets reviewed, because in that week between New Year's and Christmas, everybody does their year-end review. Well, this is kind of that time in the church, because this is really kind of the last week of ordinary time. Because next week is the Feast of Christ the King. It's a special day where we take aside and just say, Christ is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and he rules over everything. And we know that, and we talk about it every now and then, but this is a special time where we say, this is what we're focusing on this day. And so this is the last day that is just a regular Sunday. And in 2 weeks, we start Advent. So here's your heads up. It's 6 weeks till Christmas. Mark your calendars. So let's do a quick review. We've had a pretty impressive year. We have a lot to be encouraged about. But it's easy to get discouraged about it. We said goodbye to one of the greatest pastors we've ever had. A man who spent 25 years of his life ministering in this congregation, and who was able to be sent out with tremendous, tremendous blessings and honor, because like so few, he finished exceptionally well. We had the installation of a new pastor who hasn't messed things up too badly yet.
Give him time.
Gotta love the peanut gallery. In both those services we had, well, one was a service, one was a reception. We had over 100 people here. We had two different outreach events where we ministered to the community. We gave away 100 different school supply packages to the neighborhood community. We opened up our hearts, our wallets, both to give school supplies and then to give to the community so they had a safe place to go for Halloween. And we have more planned. We've had countless fellowships, countless opportunities to gather together, countless times where we've prayed for each other, where we've gone through sicknesses, where we've gone through just tremendous blessings with each other. We've baptized. We've done tremendous things with each other. And there's been darkness. There's been sickness. There's been illness. There's been pain. And I'm sure that each of you can think about things that have gone on and think, it's not such a great place. There's stuff going on. But you know what? I am overwhelmed by the fact that God isn't just a God who hangs out in the light. God also is with us when we're not thrilled. When we're not super happy, when we're in our deepest, darkest places, he's there. In the Psalms, Psalm 139, David says, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. We're overwhelmed by darkness. God made them both. It's not like he has to use something special to see what's going on. Not like he has to fumble around for the batteries to work the flashlights or figure out where he left the matches. That's not who he is. He made them both. In Micah 7:8, we see the prophet say this: do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. And of course, we have John from the prelude to the gospel, chapter 1. the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. It doesn't matter how dark it seems. It doesn't matter what's going on. God is there. How about this one? In Exodus 20, so the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness. This is on Sinai. This is when God has descended upon the mountain, and there's thunder, and there's lightning, and there's thick clouds, and smoke, and fire. And the people call it thick darkness. It says Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. God was in that darkness.
Praise God.
Amen. You know, in Hebrew there's two words for darkness. There's choshek. It's that CH like Hanukkah. It's choshek. And that's darkness, like when you turn out the light. And then there's Arafel, which is thick darkness. Gloom, heavy darkness. And I feel like that's what we've been in. I feel like that's what the world's been in. And if it hasn't been, and it's descending. When we think about all these things that are going on, it's like this is coming on us. There's this thick darkness that's descending. And we look at what's going on, that's terrible. But you know what? Isaiah spoke about that. In Isaiah chapter 60, he prophesied over Israel, and he said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness the people." That's that Hoshek covers the earth, and Arafel, that thick darkness, that deep darkness covers the people. Yeah, it's dark on the earth. And the people are covered in gloom. They're depressed. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawning. Lift up your eyes all around you and see. They gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be nursed at your side. They shall see and become radiant, and your heart will swell with joy. Because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall become to you. It doesn't say that any of that's going to change. The darkness isn't going to change. But you're going to be different because the glory of the Lord is upon us. Yes, we live in dark days. It's a dark time. There have been dark days before. Let's not begin to think that what we're going through today is anything new. Christians have been doing this kind of stuff for 2,000 years. Jews have been doing it for 2,000 more. Right now, in the morning readings of the Daily Office, we're reading about the rebellion in the book of Maccabees. when the Greek rulers took over the temple and they sacrificed a pig to Zeus in the altar. This was, for many Jews, the moment where they had just, it was their Popeye moment. I've had all I can stand, I can't stand no more. And they went into full rebellion. And the readings in Maccabees talk about how many thousands were slaughtered. What's going on is nothing new. But we're called to be the light. We're called to be the light that shines in the darkness. And the darkness will not understand it. But those who don't know will stream to us. They will come to us because that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot understand it. It does not know it, but we need that light. We crave it because we don't belong in the darkness. We were made for the light. Our reading from Hebrews shows us how. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, we go to the altar. The temple's been destroyed. We can't go into the most sacred space that only the high priest went to. But we don't have to, because we have access to the Holy of Holies now. Every time that we go to communion, we enter in the holiest of holies. How? By a new and living way which he consecrated us through his flesh, through the veil. There was darkness over us before, but he pierced the darkness. We're not warring against flesh and blood. We war against principalities and spirits, at war against this present darkness. He did this with his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, with our bodies washed with pure water. How do we wash our bodies with pure water? It's a reference to baptism. We become part of the body of Christ. We become part of the bride of Christ through baptism. And what is this having our hearts sprinkled? Back when they had a temple, the priest would go through and he would dip something in the blood of sacrificed animals, and they go and they sprinkle the altar with the blood of the lamb to purify the altar. But we don't do that anymore, because our altar has been purified already with the blood of the Lamb. We've been purified with him. So let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. This is Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. What he promised, he's going to bring to pass. We sang about the good father today. Matthew talks about who of you has a father who, if he asked him for bread, would give him a stone. None of you would do that. And if your father's on earth know how to give you good gifts, how much more your Father in heaven? Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, And so much more as you see the day approaching. Man, there are some people who are like, oh, the end times are near. Of course they are. We've been getting closer and closer to them every day since Jesus said the end is near. They're not getting any further off. But here's the deal. If we let the darkness change us, we lose our ability to change the darkness. I talked about two words. I talked about darkness and thick darkness, Hosek and Arafel. Here's another word. The word is Ger. Really simple. Just two little Hebrew letters, Gemel and Resh, Ger. It means all sorts of things. Exile, foreigner, immigrant, stranger. Typically, in the King James, it's translated as stranger. But what it might mean, well, here's what it says in Leviticus 19. In Leviticus 19, it says, there shall be one law among you, one law for yourselves and one law for the stranger. And then in 33 and 34, it says, if a stranger dwells among you and in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. You were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. There's also a rule that says you can't harvest everything off of your trees, off of your fields. You have to leave things in the field for the strangers, for the ger. You have to provide for the strangers. Excuse me. They'll really hate that on the recording. You have to provide for the strangers, for the exiles, for the foreigners, for the immigrants. In France right now, they've closed the borders. There is a massive immigrant crisis right now, and people are saying, we don't care. Send them somewhere else. It's not our problem. That's where the terrorists came from. And to an extent, that may very well be true. It may be that there were terrorists who came in with those immigrants, with those exiles. That may be true. But there are hundreds of thousands of people fleeing that kind of slaughter that goes on every day. And there were 40 people who committed an atrocity. We're called to shelter the stranger, to care for the exile. In just a few days, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving and recall that at some point in time, we were all sheltered and cared for as immigrants and exiles. We're called to do that. Yes, when we care for people, we may be bitten. They may turn on us. That's exactly what Jesus said they'd do. We can't change who we are because of who the world is. When we do that, we become like the world. We're called to change the world, not let the world change us. We have to be the light, not let the darkness change us. We have to be who we're called to be. We have to rise and shine, even when it's hard, even when it's challenging, Next Sunday, we celebrate Christ the King. And we are going to take dominion over things that have been holding us back. We are going to put them in their place, because that is who we are and is what we do. We proclaim the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overtake it. And most importantly, we stand for faith, we stand for hope, and we stand for love. We stand for the love of Christ, which overcomes the world. And we will not let the darkness overcome us. We will overcome the darkness. We will do this by not changing who we are, but by changing the world around us, by being better at who we're called to be, because that is how we stand against the darkness, and that is how we are not overcome. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.